Hi, this is Steve Michelotti from Azure Government Engineering. I have with me my colleague, Zach Kramer, also from Azure Government Engineering. And today we want to talk to you about getting beyond lift and shift. Now, you might see here on our title slide, we have part two. Zach and I have been talking about our PaaS services, our platform as a services, and getting beyond lift and shift quite a bit lately. And we have part two because part one, we consider one of the talks I gave at our Tech Summit conference in Washington, D.C. a few months ago. And that talk set up a lot of the basic concepts about some of the advantages of moving to PaaS. But as Zach and I have been talking more about it lately, we thought we could sort of do a part two to expand on some of these concepts. And as one of those concepts, we talked about the new cybersecurity executive order that's come down from the current administration. So, Zach, what can you tell us about what that directive is and how it impacts us?
Yeah. When you gave your original talk about moving from on-prem to the cloud, but not necessarily just moving virtual machines, but moving to PaaS services, one of the things, obviously, is around security. And we had, some of you may have heard in the news, there was a vulnerability that affected a lot of people recently around the same time the cybersecurity executive order came out. And basically the...
That was the WannaCry.
Yeah, the WannaCry stuff. And so basically it came down to servers that weren't patched. And when the machines weren't patched, they were vulnerable. If they had been patched, they were not vulnerable. And so when this executive order came out, we've been talking a lot about this particular section here. And so what this section talks about is keeping your infrastructure, your software, up to date, okay? And so one of the things that we've talked a lot about, and I think you and I are talking about some of the articles we've read, is that the solution for this is moving to the cloud.
Definitely. A lot of the stuff we've read is just, his executive order was all IT must be done in the cloud, move to the cloud, and that satisfies the executive order?
Yeah, no, exactly. And so we have some customers that have done that, right? And they're very successful, and they've smoothed out some of their hardware procurement cycles. They are able to leverage the power of the cloud for scale and elasticity, all that stuff. But we're actually working with a customer the other day, and they'd moved their database machine to the cloud. Great. They were receiving a lot of benefits. But it turned out they still weren't patching. They were applying security patches, so they were okay from the WannaCry stuff, but...
Okay, so they moved to an IaaS machine. They did an actual server where they installed SQL.
Right, exactly. And so the database was running in the cloud, but they had not applied some of the other patches, and basically that led to an outage. They actually lost data. This is like a revenue system.
Okay, so when we say outage, we're not talking about an Azure outage. We're talking about an outage for their customer.
Yeah, exactly. So for their application went down, basically, because the underlying operating system had not been patched. And so one of these things that really brought home for me as we were driving through some of these conversations is that, even if you move to the cloud, it's certainly better. It's a step in the right direction. But when you're still leveraging the just raw virtual machines in the cloud, you still own a lot of the responsibilities.
Yeah. Okay, so if we look at this slide here, we talk about the responsibilities here.
Yeah, so when we're looking at the responsibilities, you can see it when you're on-prem, you own all of it end-to-end. And when you move to the cloud, if you're just doing virtual machines or what people call IaaS infrastructure, you own a lot less. So you're not pulling networking cables, you're not dropping hardware, but you still own all the operating systems and all the patching. So you still have a significant amount of work, but when you move to a PaaS situation and you're using higher order services, it becomes a lot less responsibility for you and you remove a whole class of problems. And so when we've been talking about the security posture and working with customers, when you take an application and move it, instead of just moving it to the cloud and having it running on a virtual machine, you actually move it into some of these services, we take over more of the responsibilities for you and allow you to focus more on developing value that right. solves the business problems you right. want.
So if we relate it back to this executive order, moving to the cloud is good and certainly helps with that executive order, but it doesn't get us all the way there as this illustrates.
Yeah. So I think what we can do is let's look at that app. So in that video when I watched it, you had an app.
Yep.
So remind me what that was.
Yeah, so we'll just do a quick recap here. This is just a quick and dirty box diagram here. So it's a basic web application. It's deployed on Azure Web App. It's authenticating with Azure Active Directory. And the web app is PaaS, and it uses some PaaS resources. So for example, the database it talks to is a SQL database, which is a PaaS service.
Okay, so you're not running on virtual machine with SQL. You're actually running in a service.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm not in a situation where I need to, install the software on a VM.
Okay.
I'm using an Azure Storage Queue. It's a task manager application. So if a task is marked complete, it sends a notification to a queue. Someone picks it up and does something with it. And we're also using caching for added performance. And this is a Redis cache, which is also a PaaS service, not something.
So that's like an open source thing, right? And Redis cache was supposed to be running on like a Linux box or something.
So I don't care. I don't know what it's running on. I don't care what it's running on. All I know is that I have this service I can use, and that's abstracted away from me.
Yeah.
Right. So here's the picture of the application. Let's just flip over here real quick, and let's look at the application itself. So this is just a simple web app. I have a task manager application. I've got to write a blog post before my manager gets mad at me for not having that done. And I have a title description. I can have a due date. I can cancel. I can mark it complete. I can see my completed tasks. If I mark it complete, it'll send that message to a queue. So basic web application. So let's look at, keeping that diagram in mind, let's look at what we actually have here. So down here, this is the Azure portal. And the first thing I'm going to do is let's go look at my database server, because we mentioned this was not on a VM. So here I have this Michelotti SQL East. This is my database server. So I have a server and a database.
Well, you've got a server, so you must be patching that server, right?
Yeah, so actually, no. There's no update button here, right? I don't come in here, and I'm looking at all these buttons, and I can, you know, add new servers and that kind of thing, and I can delete, but there's no update button because Microsoft's handling that for me.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about how this works, because underneath the covers, right, obviously there is an operating system, and there is a machine somewhere that's actually executing this code, and so when we're thinking about this, the way, you know, kind of cloud, you're managing these services at scale, is they're actually constantly rolling out new builds, new refreshes and things like that, and they're actually redeploying OSs and things like that, and keeping them up to date. So there's where you no longer have to worry about how you're patching those servers. That is all being done for you and at scale by Microsoft behind the scenes.
I think one thing that's interesting about this discussion is when we talk about PaaS services, so often we get caught up in the patching. You don't have to patch, and for good reason, because that's really important.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, I think something that is important is some of the features are just really cool in PaaS. So for example, if we stick with this example of the database right here, one of the features is we can have geo-redundancy and geo-replication, and we can have things like active-active, where as a developer, I can just write an insert statement to a table, and it will actually put that in multiple databases. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and that's one of the things with Azure Government, we've actually deployed, and we have four separate regions that go across the country. So you may have a database server that is in our Virginia data center, and you could replicate that data very easily over to our new data centers in Texas or Arizona. And so you can have an application that's spread out across the country that's serving, if you're a large federal agency or a customer that has, you know, has people all over the country, you can have load balancing and replication. And from a developer perspective, I don't have to code that. And even from an infrastructure perspective, I don't have to set up like SQL always on replication, or if I'm using another type of database, whatever their replication technology is, I can just allow the system to do it for me. It's managing, making sure the right resources are in place and taking care of it for me.
Yeah. As a developer, I mean, I've been doing this a few years, and that's kind of unbelievable. I mean, I think we take it for granted sometimes, or maybe we're too matter-of-fact about it, but the fact that I can just write an insert statement in my code and it'll just be automatically written to a data center hundreds of miles away, and you don't have to worry about that, try that in your on-prem data center.
Yeah, no, the Azure websites is another one. So you had your website in there, and so...
Should we flip over to
Let's flip over that one.
So let me just use that as a segue here, and now I'm going to go to... let's look at our resource groups. And the resource group for Azure is like a logical container of resources. So I'll go to this Gov Task Manager. We can see this has a collection of resources right here. So we have things like the website, the app service plan for the website. We can talk about that. There's our Redis cache. There's our queue storage, went right to the queue. So since you just brought up the website, let me click into the website right here.
Yeah, no, so when you go into the website, right, so the cloud has scale and elasticity, right? So I could bring my virtual machine running inside of my Windows or Linux box, and I could reinstance that a whole bunch of times and have that virtual machine running. And I can even script that with ARM or other things like that. That's great.
So you said ARM. What is ARM?
So ARM is our resource management. Basically allows you to define templates and, you know, enables you to kind of define, say, I need a virtual machine with a network and things like that, or I need other resources and all of the parameters so that they get configured correctly in the cloud.
So it's almost like that resource group I just saw. It's a representation of that resource group. Here are all the resources. Deploy.
Right. And that type of thing can make it very easy for you to roll out a whole bunch of virtual machines. But the Azure websites actually takes you one better, which is I can, with the click of a button, say, I need 2, 3, 4 of these things. So I don't even have to begin scripting it out because Azure already knows what I've deployed. Azure already will redeploy that for me across multiple instances and manage those, and then you can even begin scaling up and scaling down as you need. And so this, again, is just yet another example where we've abstracted that stuff in a way that allows you to take more control and spend more of your time focused on features and less of your time worrying about, like, did I, you know, script that virtual machine just right, or did I do these other things? I can say what I'm really interested in is, did I get that new feature in? Right. Did I do that work that is actually driving value for me with my, you know, citizens or employees or whoever you're targeting with your application?
Definitely. I feel like when we start talking about scaling websites and how easy it is to just scale up and scale down, that's great. But even things like, if I am an organization or an agency that's running a website for the entire country, and I can do geo-distribution. I can use things like Traffic Manager, which is the thing that enables us to come in and say, well, maybe you want to increase your performance because someone's in the West Coast and you want them to go to our Iowa data center, or East Coast, go to Virginia data center, and Traffic Manager will handle all that, and we can deploy the website out to multiple data centers as well as multiple instances in a single data center. So that's just, it sometimes becomes too easy to just drag the slider and you don't realize what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, it's really great. So let's bring this back to compliance and security that we were talking about. We built Azure Government to enable our government customers to meet their mission needs and to really be able to solve some of these hardcore compliance areas. And so when we think about building a compliance solution on top of Azure Government, when you're using PaaS, takes care of a whole lot of the controls. And so one of the things that we just wanted to look at here is when you look at all the controls that are in your compliance frameworks, right, there's a whole lot of them. And you can see the ones that are in orange are pretty much taken care of for you when you're using a PaaS service. So you don't have to worry about the management of the networking infrastructure. You don't have to worry about the management of physical access controls or things like that. And then when you start getting into when you're in with PaaS, you don't have to worry about some of the, you know, patch management and things like that. It's all taken care of for you. And so this really is how you're lowering your compliance burden and able to do some of those things.
As a developer, that's music to my ears, because the last thing I want to worry about is some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so this is also interesting because we talk about patching servers, but it's not just patching servers and maintenance. It's also making sure you are compliant. And if I can do less work, I'm happy with that. One of the questions I get a lot of times is people say, okay, Steve, I'm convinced I want to do PaaS. How do I do it? Do I need to do IaaS first and then go to PaaS? Is that an easier path? Is it easier to go straight to PaaS and not do IaaS? I think the answer sort of depends, right?
Yeah, no, it varies wildly. And I mean, I think moving to the cloud, even if you're just moving to IaaS, if that's a reasonable step for given the complexity of an application, the existing integrations of applications, that can be a very good first step. That gets you to the cloud, and it gives you are able to get your networking and a whole bunch of other integration worked out between your on-premises infrastructure and the cloud. So that's totally reasonable place to start. But also, a lot of applications are constantly going through updates and rewrites and things like this. And you can, you know, in those situations, there's a lot of opportunity to just take advantage of the cloud from the get-go, working with PaaS. The third path is really a middle path, which allows you to, you can bring, say, your database to the cloud, okay? And that may be just easiest to move. And then instead of maybe your website running inside of an IaaS, instead of a virtual machine, you can put it in something like Azure Websites. And actually, there's a virtual networking integration feature that would allow you to have your database on a virtual network and your website to connect to that virtual network to access the database. So you can bring all of your benefits of the virtual networking and integrating your website, but I now have at least removed my need to manage and patch those web servers, and those are my front door to a lot of my applications. So it really gives you a lot of opportunity to think differently about how you're building your applications, and you can begin mixing and matching. And then we've seen people begin to integrate a cache, or begin to integrate with the data services, or with other pieces of the application as you continue to evolve your application. So it's definitely not an either or.
Yeah, I definitely think this is a huge point. I mean, It's also comforting. If I'm a CTO of some agency and I need to figure out how to do this and my technologists need to figure it out, it doesn't have to be an all or nothing. It can be. Maybe you have a greenfield application where it's easy to move straight to PaaS. That's awesome. But maybe you want to dip your toe in the water. Maybe you want to do a hybrid approach. The fact that I can deploy a website on PaaS and have it talk to a SQL database in IaaS with VNet integration that we have in Azure Gov, that's awesome. Or even a website in PaaS that's talking to a SQL database in your on-prem data center that we've secured via ExpressRoute, Azure Government, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it really gives you a lot of opportunities. So, okay, I think bringing it back around. So we talked a lot, went through kind of what these PaaS services are, you know, how they're doing, but it really does come back to one of the primary things is how do we help you and partner with customers on building a secure infrastructure? And we think PaaS offerings is one way that customers can certainly be thinking about that. And it is a way of just removing whole classes of problems and enabling the cloud to really help you out and accelerate that. And we've got the link up on the screen. Azure has published some guidance and some resources about how we're thinking about the cybersecurity executive order from our security leaders and things like that. So you can go ahead and check that out. And those are some great resources to start with.
Yep, that's a great point that the cybersecurity executive order is great, but it's not just as simple as moving to the cloud. There's some other things you need to have consideration of, and we can certainly help you
certainly.
With that.
Certainly, yeah.
All right, that's great. All right, well, I think this has been a good session. This is Steve McLaughlin with Zach Kramer talking about moving to PaaS and Azure Government. Thanks for watching.